This is the B-side of the lecture for February 1997. The title is Zechariah and Modern Times. As I've stated on the other side of this cassette tape, these prophecies, which we find in the Minor Prophets, all 12 of them, have to do with events just prior to the second coming of Christ back to this earth. True enough, their historical environments in which they were given vary over a period of about 400 years. But as the Apostle Paul said, once these prophecies were put into a book called the Holy Bible, they then become admonitions for all of us who live at the end of the age. There are chronological and geographical matters to be considered, however, and Daniel said as the time of the end approaches, we would be able to understand just what these prophecies are all about. Because many of them are quite enigmatic, as you know. Especially the geography that you look at the old times and the chronology of the old period and all of that, trying to understand just exactly the historical context in which we find these prophecies uttered, gives some trouble to us in modern times in being able to apply them. That is all true, but that's why we need the Holy Spirit of God to come and to help us to understand just exactly what was going on. In Acts chapter 3, the Apostle Peter, under the divine inspiration of God, stated categorically that just before Christ Jesus comes back, there's going to be a refreshment of knowledge and understanding, and there's going to be a restoration of all things that the prophets have spoken about from the very beginning until the end. That means throughout the entirety of the Old Testament. And isn't it interesting that when the book of Revelation was written, the final version at the end of the first century A.D., we find the Apostle John garnering from all areas of the Old Testament and a few of the prophecies of the New Testament, the Olivet prophecies, information and putting it into a particular scenario, a context, and saying it has to do with that period just before, during, and just after the day of the Lord. So you see, we are having here, by looking at this prophecy of Zechariah, indications of what is going to happen just on the horizon to us. We're at the very threshold of when these prophecies are going to be fulfilled. And granted, we have here the exact dates in some cases in which the prophecies were initially given, going back to the last part of the 6th century B.C. We have that context very well established. But you must remember that the Bible makes it clear that even individuals who were important in the Old Testament times have their types and antitypes for the end time. There was Elijah the prophet who died and is in his grave to this very day. John the Baptist was a type of Elijah. But we find in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus said, there is yet an Elijah to come. We read in the book of Haggai last month about Zerubbabel will pass his signet down, and that as he established the stone, the foundation stone for the temple, on the ninth month, the month of Kislev, in the wintertime, on the 24th day of the month, it says his hand also is going to finish it. We're going to find that here in the book of Zechariah. And let's recall that Zechariah and Haggai were two contemporaneous prophets. And we find that the book of Haggai was given 2 months, the beginning of it, 2 months before Zechariah commenced his prophecies. And they overlap one another. And to be able to comprehend what was going on, you have to take both prophecies into account. So here we find Zechariah in the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, 2 months after Haggai commences his prophecies. And he starts out by speaking about the evil ways of the Israelites and how they were doing things in the ancient times. And he says they are doing the same thing at this very time. Remember how they were griping to Haggai about why God had not blessed them, and they thought that he should. But God said, consider your ways. It's your ways, your evil ways, that is not causing me to respond. The same thing here in Zechariah. You're going to find that though they had established or begun to establish the city of Jerusalem already, and they had now, by the time we get to the 7th verse here of chapter 1 of Zechariah, they had already started on the temple 2 months. And it says that from that very day, if you will read the prophecy in Haggai, I will really begin to bless you. Bless you as you've never been blessed before. But remember, chronology is the major problem here. It depends on certain circumstances. And that is why Jesus told the apostles, he says, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons that the Father has placed in his own power. But near the end of the age, we're going to begin to understand these things. They didn't understand the chronological portions of this. And you would think that they should, but they didn't. Now, when you see the prophecies, you might even get on their side to a certain extent, because it looks like that he meant immediately in that period. But you know what Zechariah does? In Zechariah's prophecies, the reason he succeeds Haggai is he explains Haggai. He explains that Haggai didn't mean that it would establish or be established back in the 6th century B.C. He goes on to say it's going to be for a future time. So the two are in linkage with one another. If you just had Haggai alone, you would not know how to interpret those prophecies. You got Zechariah, he's putting them into the future. And that's where they belong, into our age today. So you have then two prophecies, or two prophets, who are contemporaneous with one another, one explaining one thing and the other explaining the prophet, what he actually meant, so that people would understand. In actual fact, 2 months after the establishment of the foundation stone in the temple, in the 9th month, the 24th day of the month, in the 2nd year of Darius, we find them still griping because they hadn't been blessed. They thought they should be blessed. Haggai made it quite clear that they should be blessed. But there's one thing also Haggai told them. You're still unclean. You remember? If you touch a dead body, and you've touched the dead body, will you be unclean or will you be clean? And they said, well, you'll be unclean. Said, that's the way you are. Still they're being told they're unclean. So Zechariah is coming along to help his partner out, so to speak, Haggai, both of them inspired by God's Holy Spirit, to explain what Haggai meant. It's true that there is coming a time in the future when the 9th month, the 24th day of the month, is going to be a time when God is going to bless Israel tremendously, and he's going to do it starting with a particular day, that day right there. 1 day's time, they're going to start seeing blessings. From the time that they have just been in cursing, almost, they're going to start experiencing blessing. And it's going to be starting with the 9th month and the 24th day of the month. Now, here they are 2 months after that date, and they are still griping. So here's what it says in verse 7. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, you see, 2 months later, in the month of Sebat, in the 2nd year of Darius, same year, came the word of the Lord from Zechariah. I saw by night, it's a vision, behold, a man riding on a red horse. He stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom lands. And I beheld him. There were red horses speckled in white. Is this not similar to the book of Revelation and the horses seen there? Similar. And I said, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel, here we have an angel. The angel of the Lord comes into the picture here. And this angel is going to interpret several things throughout this first division of Zechariah up to chapter 8, which represents the full prophecies of Zechariah, not the ones tacked on by Jeremiah chapter 9 to 14. Here's this angel. He talked with me. He said to me, I will show you what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth, through the entire earth, these people. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth. And they're going to give a report back. And behold, all the earth sits still and is at rest. No wars were going on at that time. All sitting at rest. Then the angel of the Lord, this is a very powerful angelic personage, who, by the way, was the very angel that gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. And he bore the name of Yahweh at the time. Now, he was not Yahweh. He was the angel of the Lord. But he had the authority to be the agent of the Lord. If you want full understanding of this, you write for my biblical manual, where I have this all in there, so you can understand who this angel of the Lord really is. And how he was the one who gave the Ten Commandments, believe it or not, and the other laws to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, he did it for God the Father, that's right, and Jesus Christ. But this angel of the Lord is a very important personage. And this angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah? In other words, here the angel of the Lord still saying, no mercy is given to them. And 2 months before, he said, from this very day, I'm going to start giving you mercies. But he wasn't giving them, you see. How long? And he goes on to say that you have been giving us no mercies for 70 years, 70 years. The 70 years of captivity, you remember? The Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar came down, destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple, and then for 70 years they were in Babylon, and they were in degradation. Now they had come back under Cyrus's command. They were in Jerusalem, and now they had even, after 18 years, started to rebuild the temple by the foundation stone, and they were told in Haggai that the moment they do that, they're going to be blessed. 2 months later, they're still not blessed. But you see, they still weren't clean yet either. They still weren't clean. A cleansing of the land has to take place first, and we're going to find Zechariah saying that. And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry you, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. In other words, he loves it and he's jealous for it. He will look after Zion and Jerusalem. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen, that is the nations that have caused the problems to Israel and Jerusalem. They are at ease. That's right, and they were at ease at the time. They were having good times. And here was Israel not having good times, though they had started to establish the temple. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it. Now, it's the future. Isn't it interesting? The house has already started, and here he puts it, shall be in Jerusalem. And from now on in Zechariah, it's always going to be, shall be in the future. That what was happening back there was a type, but it wasn't the things that he was talking about. The 6th century B.C., the last part of it, wasn't the time for these things to be established. I will show mercy to Jerusalem and to my house. Going on, the Lord of hosts will stretch a line upon Jerusalem. That is a measuring line to be able to build it. Well, they'd been there for 18 years and already building Jerusalem. He says, I will do it. I will do it. Cry yet aloud, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. But you know something? They weren't experiencing it then. And you know, here is Zechariah saying what God is saying. It will come, however, in my time, in the future, it's going to come. And I'll just tell you this, going a little ahead of myself here. The last prophet of the minor prophets is Malachi. And that prophecy, if you'll read the first chapter, it shows they are still in difficulty and we're not in the prosperity that they thought they were going to get, starting with the 9th month and the 24th day of the month. 75 years later, they're still in trouble and they're wondering when God is going to come and save us. It's most interesting. Here is Zechariah telling them, I am going to do it in the future. In the future, certain people had to yet come. Certain things in history had to develop first. Certain plan that God had in mind had to develop and see its fruition before God would bless Jerusalem and his house. Going on in verse 18 of chapter 1, then lifted up I mine eyes, and I saw, behold, 4 horns. And I said, I said unto the angel of the Lord, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me 4 carpenters. And I said, what are these? These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. In other words, still in charge are the Gentiles. And Jerusalem is not yet going to be the mighty metropolis that I promised, because there's a matter of chronology involved in all of this. And that is what Zechariah is explaining to the Jews back at that time. Look at chapter 2 now. Zechariah, still at the same time, 11th month, 24th day of the month. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand, that is for building a city. And I said, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what's the length thereof. And I beheld the angel, here's the angel of the Lord coming back, that talked with me. He went forth, and another went out to meet him. And here's what happens. Verse 4, And said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Coming up in the future, not then. The whole scenario now is, you're going to be blessed all right, but certain things have to happen first. Even you have to be cleaned up first, you Israelites. And other things have to happen. And you're going to be blessed beyond compare. I promise it right on time, but it's going to be, says God, my timing. Then he goes on to say that in verse 10, chapter 2, Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come. He's going to come. I will dwell in the midst of you, saith the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and dwell in the midst of you. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me, that is, the angelic messenger, unto you. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion, in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. He hadn't chosen Jerusalem then, even though they were rebuilding it and the temple. Now, here is chapter 3. This is all about Joshua the high priest. Now, if you'll just read through this, I haven't time to go into it. This is only an hour's lecture. But you read through it here. It shows Joshua, the high priest, in his robes all right, but they're rags, and he doesn't look good. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put finery on him. And he's going to have the finest finery that you can imagine. And this Joshua, the high priest, is going to be my representative on earth. You read the whole thing. When is that going to happen? When I send forth my servant, the branch. And who is the branch? The New Testament gives the evidence of who the branch is. The branch is Jesus Christ, who's going to come. It goes on to say here that verse 8, Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your fellow, that means fellow priests, that sit before you, for they are men wondered at, like signs. They're going to be signs. You are a sign of something in the future. I will bring forth my servant, the branch, in the future. Who is the branch? The branch is the seedling that comes forth from Abraham. It comes from Adam, really. It comes from Eve, the Messiah. For behold, the stones that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraven thereof. Seven eyes. If you go to the book of Revelation and you look at chapter 4, Jesus is called the Lamb with seven eyes in symbol. He is the one that's going to be sent. The branch is going to be sent. And when he comes, then is going to come all the glories that you have been looking for. That is chapter 3. Now chapter 4, he deals with the priest first, then with the son of David, Zerubbabel. He says to Zerubbabel that you're going to be blessed too. This is, in verse 6, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Who are you, Zerubbabel? Okay, a great mountain. Is that what you are? Or that's what's in front of you? Behold, Zerubbabel shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shepherds, with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. In other words, it looks like a great mountain of obstacles in front of this Zerubbabel, or for these events to be actually brought to pass. But he's going to take that mountain and cut it down to a plain, and all these things will happen just exactly as God says. And he said, You have been despised in the past, going in verse 9, but you're going to be blessed. And going on in verse 10, it says, Though you have been despised, and this is the day of small things, you shall rejoice. You shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, with these seven eyes that Joshua the high priest was seeing in the stones. And these are the eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the entire earth. And then it says there are two olive trees. And these two olive trees stand before a bowl that is in the first part of chapter 4 of Zerubbabel. And they supply oil to this bowl, which supplies the oil to the lamps in the temple, that gives light in the temple, and the candelabra, you know, the menorah, the seven candlesticks, and all of that, which represent the eyes of the Lord. These two are indicated here in chapters 4, verses 11 and 14, as the two anointed ones that stand before the Lord. They have oil associated with them. In the book of Revelation, they are known as the two witnesses, which refer right back to this verse here. In the book of Revelation, dealing with the end time, who will have to do with a building of a temple and a measuring, you know, the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, that's where it's going to have that fulfillment. In the future, not back here. Chapter 5 speaks about a flying roll. On this roll are curses, front and back. Israel's going to have to experience, and the world will be these curses. But there is something going to happen, though, near the end of this period of time. It says he sees a woman with an ephah, a great big jar, big jar. You know what he's going to do? He's going to take all the sins of Israel, he says, in the land of Judea and in Jerusalem. He's going to put them in that jar, going to put a big leaden top on it, and that jar is going to be taken to Babylon, and the whole land of Israel will be cleansed. Coming up in the future. That is chapter 5. Chapter 6 goes on to say where the angel of the Lord is speaking, and it says that the branch in verse 12, this branch that is mentioned, who is Jesus Christ in prophecy, he shall grow up out of his place. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Now, when I said Jesus Christ, under the auspices of Jesus Christ is what I meant. That this personage who builds the temple is Zerubbabel. But he says, your hand has started the temple, Zerubbabel, but your hand is also going to finish it. But it's going to be a signet. That means a personage with your name who will do this at the end of the age. When you put all of the scenario together, that is what you get. And this branch shall build the temple. He shall build the temple of the Lord, verse 13. He shall bear the glory, that is the Shekinah glory. He shall sit and rule upon the throne. This one, this Joshua, in the future shall be a priest, and he will sit on a throne, and he is going to be in glory indeed. But notice it's in the future. That's the point. Chapter 7 speaks about a time when Jerusalem is going to be cleansed finally, where there are going to be children dancing in the city streets. And that's also in chapter 8, where it says in verse 5, the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets again. Not like it was back there, but in the future. This is what Zechariah is trying to show. He's interpreting the prophecies of Haggai, you see, which looked like it was going to happen immediately. But yet the people weren't cleansed yet. Zechariah explains how they're going to be cleansed. They're going to be cleansed by the branch, by Jesus Christ, really, when we get the New Testament into it. And then he says in chapter 8 here, which is most interesting, that all of the days in which they fasted will be turned into days of joy and merriment and celebration, including the Day of Atonement, the fast of the seventh month. The Jews always fasted on Yom Kippur, you know, coming up pretty soon, they're not going to even have any sins to fast about. And they are going to be having a great celebration, and on the Day of Atonement, they're going to have a feast. That's what he said. All the days of fasting will no longer be there because sin has been taken out of the land. Now, that's the first 8 chapters, and that deals with Zechariah. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 are the Jeremiah section, and they explain, I've done this in the past so many times that I don't have to go into it here, what is going to happen at the end of the age leading up to that time. And you know when the sin will be taken out? It's very clear. In the 12th chapter of the book of Zechariah, turn over there, and you'll be able to see it here. I've referred to it before. It says in the 10th verse, I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication. Now you see, this is mercy and goodness. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and they shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So Zechariah here, that is in the Jeremiah part, But attached to it shows the time when these events mentioned in the prologue here will begin to take place. And who is that branch? Who is the one with the seven eyes? Who is the one that sees everything in the earth? The one being talked about here who is going to bring the redemption of Israel finally in the future, starting with the ninth day and the 24th day of the month? It's going to be this personage who was pierced. And who was pierced? According to the New Testament, that is interpreted as Jesus Christ. They are going to finally come to see Jesus Christ is their Redeemer. He is the branch. He is the one to bring salvation to Israel. He is the one to bring all of these things to pass. He is the one to inspire a future Joshua the high priest, a future Zerubbabel, a future Elijah. He is the one who is to cleanse Israel of all their sins. And we find the New Testament is the answer to the old. But Zechariah here is giving these teachings here about what is to happen at the end of the age. That is why Zechariah has his prophecies. Don't look for them, he says, to happen now. You think that should happen now. That's what he's telling them. And they thought that. Not now is the time. The Jerusalem I'm talking about, the temple I'm talking about, says God, is the temple that the branch will raise up. And the branch is this person who was pierced, that you will finally accept, and he will cleanse you of all sin. And it says in the Joshua prophecy here, chapter 4, and in verse 14, that the sin will be taken away in one day's time. Let me see if I can find it here quickly. In one day, he says, behold, that is, I said verse 10, it is actually verses 8 and 9 where it says that the sin will be taken care of in one day. Here it is in verse 9. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And I'll tell you the day when it was. The day was when Jesus Christ was crucified and all the sins of the world upon him. That is the time sin will be got rid of, not only Israel, but the whole world. Zechariah gives us that information. This concludes the B-side of the lecture, Zechariah and Modern Times.